design of experiments, and well, I should say in product design, is that we typically want to create a robust design. Design that can handle the normal or expected range of variability that we would expect or that would occur in impact on the product. Also to deal with the variability of the materials and the construction techniques and its history and shipping and storage installation and so on. And that's what we mean by robust, is that it's able to deal with the variability that it will see in the environmental and use stresses. We don't know exactly where our products are going to be in any given moment. And if we're making a consumer product for business people to carry with them, they're going to be on airplanes and on cars, in ice and snow. They're going to leave it on the dashboard in the sun in Arizona, and probably everything in between, and a handful of other stresses I haven't even mentioned, or quite a few other stresses I haven't even mentioned. Considering all of those in our design process is daunting. So one of the things that we do as design teams is make our products robust, meaning that even though we don't know all of the loads that the product will see, it will likely withstand that. And to some regard, it's by adding a significant amount of margin to the overall design. But it's more importantly is considering all of the variability that goes into the creation and use of a product, will it still operate? And that's what we mean by a robust design. Now, a robust design tends to be more reliable, but it's not a one-to-one correlation. So let's take a look at the basic approach. And it's one of them is a consistency. It's a rigorous approach. And using Taguchi's design of experiments is one way to consider the various controlling factors and elements that are indicators of the use of the product in order to understand how it operates. But we need to be very consistent with the manufacturing process, materials, the design decisions, all of those other parts, so that as we evaluate and judge our prototypes, there's the minimal amount of variability in them as possible. The things that we can control, we should. And then it's also a process of figuring out, well, which of those things, which are the variables that we can control that we absolutely have to, which ones make the biggest difference on the robustness of the final product. So one way that Taguchi talks about this is that you have noise factors. That's the environment and use variability, the material variability. And we also have signal factors. It's the commands or the demands for use on a product is, say, start a car or provide a particular function or whatever it is. Then there's control factors, and that's our settings or preferences, our elements that we can control. And then it goes into our product or process that then creates or elicits a response. So it may be a physical product and it actually completes a phone call, for example, for a cell phone, or it's a manufacturing process and the response might be the yield or throughput. But this is pretty generic, but it allows us to consider the things we can control, those things we cannot control, and those things that put a command or demand on the product. It's basically being put into use. So we consider and tolerance analysis and the basic approaches to creating a product and the basic consideration or the concept that the product needs to be, or the product or process needs to be resilient to the various types of variability that's likely to occur. Now that's the 10,000 foot level, but when we get down into the practice of this, is what we're looking for is that we have a strong signal despite the noise, the variability that actually exists. So doing the Taguchi design of experiments, looking at the different factors, different noise, signal, or control factors, allows us then to evaluate which ones we need to monitor, control, minimize, or set at appropriate levels such that the result ends up with a high signal-to-noise ratio. Now, Taguchi also talks about this concept of a loss function. And he does this more in the terms of that there's a society loss, and you can also think of it as a financial loss. So if I have a quality characteristic of some product, there's some function that the quality, the further away it is from its target, and say, let's say it's a reliability target, and we want a product that lasts for 2 years. Now, if it only lasts 2 months, then it's very far away from the target, and there's significant loss. Warranty, for example, would come into play. On the other hand, if the product lasts for 4 years, it's also far away from the target, and we've lost resale, or we've lost the value of the product is not as significant as if it hit the target directly. That longer is better usually with reliability, but not always, depending on your business circumstance or your customer's requirements. The other aspect of this is probably easier to understand if it's, say, the finish of the paint. It has to be a particular color. The further away it is away from that color, that quality characteristic is deviating from the objective. The further away it goes, the more loss we have. And this formula is a parabolic curve. Remember to turn the pen on. So this is my variable of interest. Let's see, and I think it's y. And this is my loss function, basically the cost to society, or it could be the financial loss to the organization. And this is my target, y0. So I end up with this parabola that says the further away I am from the target, the greater the loss. And that's what this basic concept is. And K defines what's the slope of this curve. It could be very sharp and steep, or it could be very shallow bowl type thing. And that's really based on the K value. And the cost per defective unit, M is the target. That's where this equation didn't make sense to me. M is the target, but K is really talks about the shape of this curve. So the further away we go, intuitively we know that the less quality is built into the product. So we want to hit the target as close as we can. Now, setting up tolerances based on this thing is based on the economic safety factors or functional limits and a number of different considerations. But we have to make a product that works. So there's a functional range that is setting our tolerance. But then there's also a factor of cost. So that concept that it gets the further away from the optimal value, the more loss there is. So the ratio of those two things is going to be set by policy. Is if you can get a relationship by how far off target you are to what your economic loss is, then you can set tolerance based on the economics. Generally, we do it based on functional limit, but then say the customer wants these two things aligned and would pay more, achieve a higher quality level, basically, if we get it tighter. So there may be a economic loss that if I'm still functional, but I, in the scenario where I could tighten it up. I'm not sure if that made sense. But the idea is that it's not just does it work, is it how close to the actual target for optimization are we? And then you lay on a consideration of what's the economic loss or the societal loss, whether it's lost yield, lost sales, lost use, or whatever those considerations may be. In practice, this is a wonderful theory, and it's very difficult to actually measure. It does take quite a bit of research to understand the, say, move away from my optimal value 1%, what's the impact on its performance over time? What's the financial impact or economic impact? So the safety factor is a little bit different than the safety factor or the safety margin that we've talked about previously, It's based on economics. So can you define the difference between robust and reliable? It's a couple of terms that we've thrown out at you. It's just another reason to build your own glossary and make sure you can find and look up these different terms. But more importantly, hopefully you understand the basic concept and what makes up the difference between these. So once again, in a reminder to work the examples. So I'll be adding questions on a regular basis to the course. As quick as I can, I'll be adding sample exams. Those are the best way for you to get practice with your references and the practice of reading these questions and parsing them and answering them. So as you go through that process, or if you're going through these streaming videos, send over your questions. Let me know what's on your mind, what's working or what's not working. And if there's anything that I'm missing that you would like to know more about, let me know. Certainly can add it, answer the question for you directly, but then also add it to the course going forward. So next we'll take a look at another reliable design tool called fault tolerance.